Our scripture today comes from Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 43. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with him. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I am so glad you are with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. You want to follow along with my outline, you can on the website or the Christ Church app. Part of my Lenten practice this year has become to pray daily for the people of Ukraine. Based on 1 Corinthians 13:13, some of us are setting our alarms for 1:13 p.m. and then trying to pray then. We do continue to pray for the 10 million Ukrainians who've been displaced from their homes so far. We continue to pray for President Zelensky that God will give him wisdom, courage, and protection. We pray for all of those in the middle of harm's way, as well as everyone fighting for Ukraine against the invaders. We're praying for all of those in authority throughout the world that they will have wisdom and insight in every effort to bring this war to an end. And I am praying for Vladimir Putin that Holy Spirit conviction, repentance, and the fear of God would somehow come upon his soul. O Lord, we cry out to you in the midst of this terrible war. Today I'm continuing my series, Jesus Encounters. During these 40 days before Easter, we've been looking more closely at Jesus' life and considering again the significance of his journey to the cross. And one thing we've seen from the scripture is this: Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. We've seen what he said in Mark and Matthew. In Luke 18:31-33, we also read, "Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again.'" Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. He knew of the great suffering that was coming, and yet he willingly went. He willingly chose the way of sacrifice, the way of the cross for us, because on the other side of that sacrifice, he knew there was a great victory, his resurrection and our victory over sin, death, and the grave. Again, when many talk about love today, it's mostly about emotions and feelings, but the biblical understanding of love is also about decisions and actions. Jesus' decision, his action to willingly go to the cross, is a tremendous testimony of his love for you and me. How do you know God loves and cares for you? Remember this: Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. Well, as Jesus made his way toward what awaited him in Jerusalem, he had compassion and love for the people he encountered along the way. His life shows us the heart and the character of God. And so, a man possessed of demons was set free from his nightmare. A woman who had hemorrhaged blood for 12 years was healed. A little 12-year-old girl who was presumed dead was brought back to life. Lazarus' sister Mary was so thrilled by everything Jesus had done for her, she anointed him with perfumed oil. There were many people whose lives were changed because they met Jesus. And yet, Jesus had his detractors. There were plenty of people in those days who didn't like Jesus. He made them nervous. He upset their status quo existence. And so they put distance between themselves and Jesus. They didn't want to encounter him. From early on, they wanted to discredit him and do away with him. Those people are still around today. Jesus makes them nervous. His life and his teaching upset their status quo. They like a life of their own making. They're not interested in Jesus. In fact, they too want to distance themselves between they and Jesus. They don't want to get too close to Jesus. And if anyone gives voice today about why Jesus should be dismissed or discredited, they are always interested. Without Jesus, they can live their lives any old way. Those people are still around today. Maybe you've known them. But then there is Judas. Where does Judas fit in? Judas was one of the 12 disciples. He was one of those chosen by Jesus. He witnessed Jesus' ministry. He was one of the 12 sent out by Jesus to preach and heal the sick. What happened to Judas? What changed within him? Was there an inner struggle? I've always been interested in Judas's story. I've wondered if his story can provide any insight, any input for our own. He once was a follower of Jesus who in the end turned away. What is the real truth of Judas' story? Why did Judas betray his master? Over the years, many answers have emerged. Let's brainstorm for a little bit. Why did Judas betray Jesus? Did he do it for money? Some have suggested that, saying that Judas was undone by his greed and his love for money. But that really doesn't carry much weight because Judas could have struck a much better bargain than he did if his interest had been money. And remember also that almost immediately after Jesus was arrested, Judas threw the money back at them, and then he took his own life. Some say he did it for money, but I don't think it can be that simple. Was Judas a spy? Some have said that. They think that he was planted there by the authorities of the day, placed there from the beginning to betray Jesus at the right time. I don't know how you feel about this conspiracy theory type idea, but again, to me, it seems a bit outlandish, more of a cartoon idea than a real story. Well, was it predestined that Judas should be the traitor? Was it predetermined that Judas would be the one to betray his master? Some have said the answer is here. It was written in the cards. It was all part of the plan. Well, how do we feel about that? Do we agree with that? And if we do, then how do we balance that with God's grace and with God's gift of freedom of choice? Did Judas have a choice, or was he predestined to betray? What do you think? Still others say it was a political strategy on Judas's part. Maybe Judas was simply trying to force the issue, to bring the showdown, to make Jesus get on with it, to make Jesus act, to make Jesus go ahead and bring the kingdom with power. Judas might have reasoned, I'll call his hand, I'll set it up, I'll put him in a position where he has no choice but to react and establish with force his kingdom. And when it's all over and done, he will thank me for it. What do you think? Do you think that was what was going on in the mind of Judas? Many bright scholars have believed this to be the case, but still others think that Judas just got scared and acted out of fear. The tides were turning against them. There was a groundswell of opposition, and these opponents were formidable. Why did Jesus have to cause such a stir in the temple? When he overturned the money changers' tables and cleansed the temple, he stepped on some mighty big toes, thought Judas. They are really out to get him now, and I could go down with him. Guilt by association, they call it. Maybe Judas got scared and sold out simply to save his own skin. Or maybe he just misunderstood Jesus and missed the whole point of who Jesus was and what he was trying to do. I suspect that we often do that too. We betray Jesus because we missed the whole point of who he was and what he was trying to do. Let me show you what I mean. I want to lift up 3 points about Judas from the scripture. First of all, I would say this: Judas missed the message. Missed the message. Type missed in the chat. I think that somehow Judas missed the heart of what Jesus was saying. Jesus came preaching about a new kingdom, a different way of living, a lofty set of ideas and values. When he preached his famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 3 and 4, he declared, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." This was a new vision, a different perspective. Matthew 5, 5 and 6, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Jesus was talking about the inner heart and spiritual pursuits. Matthew 5, 7 and 8, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Jesus' teaching calls us to a whole new orientation, a whole new perspective for our lives, centered around the inward heart and spiritual pursuits. I think Judas missed the message, and sometimes we do too. Story is told that little Timmy's grades weren't very good. His mother tried everything she could think of to get him to study. Rewards, help, tutoring, but nothing seemed to work. His father hadn't said anything, but privately felt something different might be needed. One evening, he pulled little Timmy aside and whispered something in his ear. The next day at school, little Timmy pulled his teacher aside and whispered in her ear, "I don't want to scare you, but my daddy says if I don't get better grades, somebody is going to get a spanking." Well, little Timmy, he didn't quite get it, did he? He missed the message. How often that happens. We miss the message too. Jesus came preaching humility, not power, forgiveness, not vengeance, mercy, not cruelty, kindness, not hatred, and we, like Judas, are still missing his message. We still believe in power and force. We still have too much vengeance and hostility in our hearts and minds. And we excuse ourselves by saying, "Jesus, he really didn't mean it. He didn't really mean those things that he said." Well, he showed us he did mean it by going to the cross. So if we don't want to be a traitor to Jesus, then we dare not, we must not miss his message of love. Judas heard Jesus when he spoke of the kingdom and the power and the glory, he evidently was not listening as carefully when Jesus said, the road to the kingdom of God is one of serving and sacrifice and the cross. He missed the message, and sometimes we do too. Secondly, I would say this, Judas missed the mandate. And sometimes so do we. The mandate of Jesus was to follow, to serve, to love. Jesus summed it up pretty well in Matthew 22, 37, 38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command, but the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The highest mandate was to love. Post love in the comments. To love God with everything you've got. To love others as you love yourself. Those relationships with God and with one another were at the heart of Jesus' teaching. Perhaps this is where Judas slipped up. Maybe he had a worldly vision of success. Maybe he wanted to see an earthly triumph, throw off the Romans, usher in a new kingdom. Perhaps he was still enamored by the worldly prospects of glory, might, and power. Story is told of a young man who was attempting to win the affections of a young lady. So he said, I don't have as much as an Arabian sheik. I don't have expensive houses or cars like an Arabian sheik. I can't afford to buy you fancy diamonds or pearls like an Arabian sheik. I can't take you around the world like he can, but I love you. And the young lady said, that's so nice. Now, tell me more about this Arabian sheik that you know. Well, she missed it. She missed the young man's message of love. Judas missed it too. Jesus had come to usher in a new kingdom built upon serving and sacrifice and love. His message went against the status quo. His mandate was different from what the world had known. Perhaps it was just too much for Judas to swallow. Perhaps he was just too blind to see it. In the end, he went to see the political leaders to hand Jesus over. Judas missed the message. He missed the mandate. The third thing I'd say is this, Judas missed his moment. Sometimes we do too. Actually, Judas missed two key moments, which could have changed his life. If he had seized either one of them, then today his name would be an honored one rather than one of shame. The first came in the upper room. Jesus offered bread to Judas. In John 13, 26, we read, then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. That was a very significant moment. It was a symbol of forgiveness. In the custom of that day, to dip a morsel of bread or meat into the dish and hand it to someone at the table was a token of deep personal friendship. Jesus was offering to Judas his love, his friendship, reconciliation, a way out of the deception, forgiveness. In effect, he is saying, Judas, I know. And I still love you. It's not too late. You don't have to go through with this. The crowning blow was that even as Jesus offers this symbol of love and friendship, Judas makes his final resolve to betray. Jesus sees it in his eyes. He tells him, what you must do, do quickly. Judas could have been forgiven. All the disciples ran out. They were all forgiven. Judas could have been forgiven too. He could have made a comeback. The big difference between Simon Peter and Judas is right here. Peter failed too, but he recovered. He bounced back. But Judas thought his failure was final. and he took his own life. The unseized moments of life are the stuff tragedy is made of. The unseized moment of helping someone in need, of listening, of caring, of expressing appreciation, of giving or accepting forgiveness, of making a commitment. Judas missed his moment, his opportunity, and sometimes so do we. We miss opportunities every day to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. There are always people in need, but often we miss them because we're too caught up in the old ways instead of the new ways of His kingdom. In life's great moments, what do? Let's not miss Jesus' love and Jesus' calling upon our lives. Judas missed the message, the mandate, and the moment. And that was his undoing. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to us too. Because you see, while it's okay to grapple with this question, why did Judas betray Jesus? The real question for us today is, why do we? Let's pray about that. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for this series concerning encounters with Jesus. Many people's lives were changed, and we were amazed to read and hear about them, and yet we don't quite know what to do with Judas. He was a follower, a disciple, one of the 12, but somewhere along the way, something changed. Lord, we have a lot more questions than answers about Judas, but we know that he ultimately handed you over. He betrayed you. So what was going on there? We're not exactly sure, but we do know that his story is wrapped up with ours, for sometimes we betray you, Lord. Sometimes we fail to follow in your footsteps. We too miss the message, the mandate, the moment. Lord, let Judas' story call us back to you. Let Judas' story call us back to being fully devoted disciples. Let Judas' story call us back to what you want us to do. We don't want to miss your message, your mandate, or our own moments to follow you. It's in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you want to visit with me about the message today, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app or the website. And thank you for your generosity. You know, your ongoing gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom and to continue to connect with one another in the body of Christ. You can go online, you use the app, the website, anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Judas missed the message, the mandate, his moment. We don't want to do that. For now, how can you renew your commitment to Jesus and His mission in your own life?
Did you know that before the invention of crowbars, crows had to drink at home? Holy Week is such an important season in our faith walk. Join us all week for special services. We have a passionate Palm Sunday parade, Maundy Thursday remembrance, an interactive Good Friday event, and three Easter Sunday services, including a sunrise service at La Fortune Park. See the newsletter or go online for times and details.
Lenten practices are so important to prepare our heart. One practice is the gift of service. On Thursday, April 7th at 6:30 p.m., join Christ Church at City Lights. City Lights offers warm meals, clothing, and essential items to those in need. Sign up at the Connect Center or contact Pastor Jim with questions.
The first Wednesday in April, we will be hearing from Operation Hope, a ministry that helps incarcerated parents and grandparents stay connected with their children while in prison. We are collecting men's and women's socks and underwear. Join us April 6th at 5:30 p.m. for a meal, a mission, and a message from Sherry Bushman and our own Ken Miracle.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.